Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of free Washington, Spokane Valley, soon to be Liberty State. And if you want to get any updates on Liberty State, we put out a Liberty State newsletter every month, but you always go to Liberty State on Facebook or go to libertystate.org. A lot of stuff there. Brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. It's about Ephesians 2, 5 through 6. God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, today I want to talk about exposing the left and specifically exposing some tactics of the left, okay? Some of the things they do. They suffered a pretty big loss here this week. They tried to do something they weren't expecting. they weren't expecting the counter to it. But I want to go back. I want to take you back in time, okay? General Mihai Pachipa, in his book, Disinformation, he's the highest-ranking KGB defector to the United States of America, okay? So this is a guy that knows it. He knew the operations. He knew the networks. Specifically in his book, he alleges about the thousands of KGB agents that were sent into the Middle East to infiltrate Islamic organizations to make those organizations a buffer against the United States of America, including the Palestinian Authority, the Muslim Brotherhood, among others. Okay, other countries, and he was in Romania. Other countries in the Soviet bloc would have different tasks. I think he talked about the Czechs producing Semtex for the KGB infiltration into the Middle East, etc. Some others trained in Russia proper, the Balashika camp, how to hijack airplanes. So this was a Soviet training plan for what we would now call jihadis today. Okay, so it's very important. But where did they get that? Where did they get this idea on how to infiltrate into the United States, into the Islamic world? And what's happening today? A lot of people don't know that back in World War II, the National Socialists in Germany had a relationship with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. A lot of people don't know that. And a lot of people don't know that influence was very heavy in the Middle East. And so I want to take you back to a document that is going to show you the tactics to persecute Christians, okay? And how this is now being used, what became Soviet tactics, is now being used by the jihadis, okay? It's very important to understand this, okay? I want to take you to a document. It's entitled The Nazi Master Plan, Annex 4, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. Okay. This was a report done and published on the 6th of July, 1945, by the Office of Strategic Services. This was the precursor to the Central Intelligence Agency. Okay. And they wanted to answer a question. And the question they wanted to answer was, how was it possible that in an ostensibly Christian country, that the Holocaust could have happened, that there could have been so much persecution against Christians as well? So they were wondering, how did this happen? And on page 2 of the document, it lays out that they came to the conclusion that the National Socialist Party, as far as they were concerned, quote, the destruction of Christianity was explicitly recognized as a purpose of the National Socialist movement, end quote. Okay. Quote, and this goes from page 2 to page 3. Thus, the policy actually adopted was to reduce the influence of the Christian churches as far as possible through the use of every available means without provoking the difficulties of an open war of extermination. That this was an official policy can be deduced from the following record of measures actually taken for the systematic persecution of Christian churches in Germany and in German-occupied areas, end quote. The report on that same page then goes on to say this, quote, the influence of the Christian churches would have to be minimized as thoroughly as possible, end quote. And then a little farther down, quote, this could only be accomplished, at least in the case of major Christian churches, by a slow and cautious policy of gradual encroachment. In accordance with this necessity, the Nazi plan was to show first that they were no foes of the church, that they were indeed interested in positive Christianity, were very good friends of the churches, and did not at all want to interfere in religious matters or with the internal affairs of the different denominations. Now, I want you to pay attention to this next part, okay? Same quote, but it continues this way, and I want you to think about today, okay? Our present time. Then, under the pretext that the churches themselves were interfering in political and state matters, they would deprive the churches, step by step, of all opportunity to affect German public life. The Nazis believed that the churches could be starved and strangled spiritually in a relatively short time when they were deprived of all means of communication with the faithful beyond the church buildings themselves, and terrorized in such a manner that no churchman would dare to speak out openly against Nazi policies, end quote. The tactics today are to terrorize Christians, to demonize Christians publicly, smear them. You know, all Christians must be white nationalists. All Christians must hate women. All Christians fill in the blank, okay? That is the terrorizing that they talked about, they identified. This is 1945. Also, it's a step-by-step, little gradual steps at persecuting Christians. And they will say publicly, oh no, we don't want to interfere in the internal affairs of the different denominations. But they get really upset, 501c3 status, the Johnson Amendment, when churches begin getting involved in political and state matters, i.e. abortion, health care. And by the way, those same issues were back then in the 1940s, 1930s and 40s. The killing of lesser human beings because they had a defect, okay? Down syndrome, aborting kids because they have Down syndrome today. That's analogous. And in fact, when I introduced the amendment to prohibit abortion because the baby has Down syndrome, and it should be for all human beings, obviously. All human beings. They voted it down. So these are the same issues we're talking about. And then this is the interesting part, too, to starve and strangle spiritually. So in other words, you can live your Christianity in your closet, your prayer closet, okay? You can live your Christianity on Sunday beyond, you know, behind the four walls of the church. But as soon as you step out, as soon as you go into the street and you start praying for healing and deliverance and helping people tangibly by feeding them, providing them shelter, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Whoa, now we're crossing a line. As soon as you step beyond the four walls of the church and you say abortion is wrong, health insurance, where there are death panels, is wrong. Identity politics, where you're dividing people along racial and ethnic, that's wrong. As soon as you start doing that and you're getting involved in political and statement, now you've crossed the line. And it is amazing to me when I reread this document how startling the parallels are becoming. And I would just ask you to, as a fellow Christian, are you living your Christianity beyond the four walls of the church? Are you showing that tangible love to your neighbor? Are you praying with them? Are you going out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the open? Are you saying in church your message, if you're a pastor, abortion is wrong according to God's standard? Alcohol addiction, drug addiction is wrong according to God's standard. Homosexuality is wrong according to God's standard. And then we go out, we love on those folks, and we pray for them. Are we actually still doing that as a church? Or are we going to church on Sunday? Hey, that was a great message, great worship. And then living like hell the rest of the week. I think it's a time for us in the church to recognize our need for humility and repentance in the body. And then once we have done that, to restore the covenant that we have with Almighty God, restore that right relationship. And that is how our country will turn back to Jesus Christ. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front, Venezuela, 1,000,000% inflation. And their solution is to remove zeros. The IMF came out with a report. Now they're removing zeros because, you know, 100,000 is better than a billion. And it's not going to solve the root problem down there, and that is that money in Venezuela is dying. Also on the international front, U.S. relations with Turkey are beginning to sour pretty dramatically, actually. What we're learning is that a Turkish court, and this is coming to us from the Washington Free Beacon, rejected the pastor's appeal. We've been talking about this pastor over there in Turkey. He's been jailed. And the United States said, if you don't let him go, we're going to impose sanctions. So on August 10th, Trump determined it was necessary to impose a 50% tariff on steel articles imported from Turkey. In response, Erdogan said that the Turks would boycott electronic products from the United States. That part coming to us from the New American Magazine. So religious liberty is now taking on an interesting foreign policy aspect. Turkey cannot retaliate for too long. They are a very trade-dependent country. But the rift is widening. And it's something we need to keep our eyes on here over the next few weeks because, again, you know, I said this a long time ago about watching what happens in Turkey. Now, Chinese are putting hundreds of millions of dollars into develop the Turkish economy. If you go back in history, and you go back to the time of the Ottoman Empire, which ended in 1917 with the end of World War I. The Ottoman Empire stretched into Europe, Bosnia specifically, and went also throughout the southern portion of the Soviet Union. They were called the Stans, and extended actually all the way, the people group anyway, to China. It's called they're called the Uyghurs, and they're in northwest China. So what the Chinese are doing by investing that much money into Turkey is they're trying to buy peace on their western frontier where the Uyghurs are. In addition to that, the Turks are very trade dependent on Israel too. So, you know, it's important as these relationships shift and change that we keep our eye on it, because Turkey's kind of, you see how they're kind of a center of everything. They have Chinese influence, U.S. influence, Russian influence, Israeli influence. And so if you watch what happens to Turkey, you have a good idea of how the Middle East is going to take shape outside of the Shia-Sunni polarization that's occurring between, you know, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, and then Iran. All right, also on the international front, Hungary continues to rally anti-communist Christians in Eastern Europe and North Central Europe. Poland and Italy drawing very stark lines, not hearing a lot about that in the media, but we're going to keep hammering on that there is a real pushback against the European Union. All right, on the national front. So Alex Jones and InfoWars, I think banned from Twitter. I think the only account he might have left is like Tumblr. People are yelling why Tumblr hasn't dumped him either. You know, this is, look at, they're coming for him. You love him or hate him, doesn't matter. They're coming for him. They're going to come for us eventually. And so we're making provision and preparation for when the day comes they try to take Patriot Radio off the air, that we have alternative media that we will be using. Real.video is one of them. And we're going to start posting. There'll be an entire channel on Real.video put up by Mike Adams, a health ranger. Natural News, I believe, is his parent and most well-known organization. And they aren't going to censor. They're adding, I think, like 300 accounts a day. So they're booming. Also have an alternative Facebook where we're beta testing right now called Local Activist. That should be online coming up here mid-September. So keep your eyes peeled for these things. And then I'm going to be posting on it on the Patriot Radio Facebook page. Make sure you start setting up accounts on these things. So when it happens, it's just an easy shift. Boom, we're over and we're done. All right. Also on the national front, Trump goes after the deep state and revokes the security clearance of Brennan, finally, former CIA director who voted for the Communist Party way back, I think, in the 70s, has been kind of a key linchpin of the deep state, and they've been using their security clearances to gain access to information to try to leverage the intelligence against Trump and his presidency. So it's about time they revoked the security clearance. All right, also on the national front, Morris Dees, again, that coming from Big League Politics. He's the co-founder of the Southern Poverty Law Center, probably one of the most hateful, discredited organizations in the country. But unfortunately, the left still uses them to hide behind, to smear other people. And Morris Dees, in court documents, was alleged to have molested or attempted to molest his daughter. And that, again, coming to us from Big League Politics. They're still involved in some government agencies, specifically the FBI and the DOJ. And people are asking the question, okay, DOJ sets up a religious liberty task force. Why is SPLC still a part of it? Incidentally, years back, a local elected official brought the SPLC in, apologized totally publicly, apologized. And people took him at his word. And a couple years later, somebody associated with him came out and said constitutionalists is the reason that they had MRAPs. Then, recently, you see SPLC language and tactics coming up again. So it's even here in our area, and we got to be really careful with this stuff. They really have been discredited, and they're going to continue to use them to smear good constitutional Christian conservatives because they want to see them destroyed. They're very and virulently anti-Christian. It's unbelievable how anti-Christian. And so if you're associated with the SPLC, you have initially an eye that, hey, is this person also anti-Christian and buying into that line of the SPLC? Because, you know, they hold that if somebody says that they are pro-life, that that is somehow hateful. That if you believe in religious liberty, that's somehow hateful. If you say homosexuality is a sin, that you're somehow hateful. Despite the fact that that's coming from the Bible, the Judeo-Christian foundations of the country. Also on the national front, and this one is shocking, actually, and a bunch of you probably will be cheering, but West Virginia impeached their entire Supreme Court. The West Virginia House impeached their entire Supreme Court. Apparently, there is a trial that's still being faced in the West Virginia Senate. A lot of people don't know that the House impeaches, the Senate tries. Generally speaking, the states, but also in Congress and the U.S. Senate. It looks like there was a corruption scandal that resulted in three impeachments, a resignation, and one plea bargain to a felony charge. This coming to us from WorldNet Daily. Wow. It's a precedent. And people that say you can't hold courts accountable, the legislature can hold courts accountable if there's a political will to do it. So when the Supreme Court here in Washington way overstepped its bounds and tried to force the appropriation of money in the education of the McCleary decision, you got to ask yourself a question. Is that an impeachable offense? And if so, why wasn't the legislature acting or having the political will to act on it? So anyway, we're going to keep our eyes on West Virginia. Wow. Also on the national front, Muslim Brotherhood, there is this training camp down in New Mexico. We talked about that, but there's some interesting things that are also occurring. In Canada, there was a sermon that called on Allah to slay non-Muslims one by one. Okay, this mosque sermon in Canada. And again, connections, impliedly so anyway, with some radical bent. And this is continuing to happen. So you have this compound busted in New Mexico, dead kid found on the compound, okay? Training, and these court documents are saying they were training kids to do school shootings. And the judge releases them on bond. How does that work? $20,000 bond and an ankle bracelet. I mean, really? I want to, in the Taos District Court, I want to read this very quickly. Okay, prosecutors advised that this man that was arrested took weapons classes in rapid succession, then traveled to Saudi Arabia last year. At least one of the children were armed and wearing a holster when the search warrant was executed. Several guns were also there within reach of the children. The children were taught that teachers, military, law enforcement, and financial institutions are enemies. And that they had advanced weapons training. Unbelievable. And then the defense attorneys have the gall to say this. They continue to argue. This is coming to us from understanding the threat that if the perpetrators had been white and Christian, they would not be at the court. What are you talking about? There's an alleged murder that took place. And apparently this isn't the first time. That this individual and relatives of this individual got on the radar screen. So that's not the most egregious thing. Okay, WorldNet Daily, a CNN contributor, essentially says that criticism of Muslims is domestic terrorism. It's not what we're talking about, the Muslim Brotherhood here and clearly established and delineated associations. Unreal. Also on the national front, Antifa violence. Talked the other day about the threat to the president of the United States. They actually threatened his life. And we'll see what happens as a result of that. But also, this coming to us from WesternJournal.com, Western Center for Media Journalism. Members of Antifa smashed out the windows of a U.S. Marine Corps recruiting office during a violent protest in Berkeley, California on Sunday. So now they're targeting military recruiting offices. Wow. All right, moving to a brave new world. Lab-grown meat. Let that hang in the air for a second. That's disgusting. And, you know, I mean, the purpose for this, obviously, is to make the meat in, you know, the cattle industry obsolete. But, oh, man. Apparently, this stuff cultures itself. It grows in the lab. Oh, anyway. All right. So, lab-grown meat, a brave new world. Man. Last but not least on the national front, Las Vegas is coming to us from Ammo Land Shooting Sports News. Las Vegas bump stock FOIA, Freedom of Information Request, claims that the ATF was not allowed to examine weapons. Here's the actual ATF statement, apparently. However, on-scene ATF personnel were not allowed to physically examine the interior of the weapons for machine gun fire control components or no machine gun conversion devices such as drop-in auto sears, lightning links, etc. These are the weapons that were recovered from the Las Vegas shooter's hotel room, okay? So, again, raising more questions about what actually happened down there. All right, on the regional front, the Bundys sue for $60 million, about time. And going to the local front, Liberty or Death Rally this weekend, August 18th, Franklin Park in Spokane, 11:30 to 2 o'clock. Look forward to seeing everybody there. I know it's going to be hot, but I look forward to seeing you there. And last but not least, a taste of what's to come in September. And that's going to be up north in the Colville area. I'll get more details here as soon as I can. And I just mentioned one thing, too. If you get an opportunity, kind of take stock of how you're impacting, how you're living your Christianity beyond the four walls of the church, and write it down. And then write down where you want to be, where your goals are. Because if we believe what we believe is really real, God can change the world, and indeed will change the world through each one of us. I was at an unfortunate funeral this week. Young man tragically killed in a car accident. But his testimony, just in the short time he was on earth, affected dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of lives. And we all, whether we recognize it or not, can have a profound impact on our fellow human beings if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, if we allow the Holy Spirit just to have his way in and through us. But we got to get out beyond the four walls of the church. And that's a briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. And go to, for now, Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. Like the page, share it with your friends and family. And you can go to VoteShea.com, help keep us on the air. Thank you to all the people that have been donating here recently, especially. And if you miss a Patriot Radio, You can always go to iTunes or Podbean. You can look up Matt Shea, and you can download and listen your favorite Patriot Radio programs at your leisure. The folks that are trucking love this, driving truck. They love it because, you know, you can download it, and as you're driving across the country, learn about what's happening in the news today. All right, my guest today is Bill Jasper, senior editor of the New American Magazine, a true patriot, somebody that has done a lot to expose the deep state and a lot of the falsehoods that are out there. Bill Jasper, thanks again for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Pleasure as always.
So, I don't even know where to start. I want to get your reaction really quick to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo saying that America was never really that great. Good gracious.
Well, it's not really surprising coming from Cuomo. The whole Cuomo family has been a disaster for New York City, for New York State, and for America. Thankfully, we haven't had a Cuomo presidency yet. Andrew Cuomo is hoping to change that sometime in the future. And since the Democrats have such a sparse bench of electable national figures, he's probably gonna make a real stab at it. Although right now he's trying to fend off an attack from the left with Cynthia Nixon, the Jezebel actress from Sex and the City, who's saying he's not left enough for him. So she's trying to replace him. That's what we're seeing around the country, is all these socialists, Democratic Socialists of America and whatnot, come out of the woodwork now. And the Hillary Clintons and the Bill Clintons and the Barack Obamas are not left enough for them. They want to go even further. That actually, in some ways, in the near term, helps Republicans, because Americans, as much as we've heard over the last couple of years that Bernie Sanders has now all these legions of young people, especially, who are itching for socialism to be employed here full scale. Most Americans still are not ready for that yet, and we have to keep educating and informing them so that we can win back the people who've already been romanced over into the netherworld of socialist group thinking, and keep more people from going that direction. So that's what we keep trying to do at the New America, and we're exposing the deep state behind all of that. And all of these left-wing democratic socialists, as they call themselves, and Marxists who are promoting this, the big thing that we've been bringing to the table for many years is showing that this would not even be happening. None of these groups that are out there, and there are hundreds of them, would be making a dent in the American public's perceptions, if not for all the funding they were getting from, first of all the tax-exempt foundations, the Soros foundations, Rockefeller, Ford, MacArthur, etc. But as we've been pointing out for years, those globalist tax-exempt foundations, their strategy is always to help get these radical groups and NGOs, environmental groups, feminist groups, racist groups, etc., get them started, and then switch them over onto government funding directly so the taxpayers pay for it directly. And that's what we've been trying to expose for many years, showing that, look, we're fighting against ourselves. We have a war going, but really only one side is fighting, and that's the left, and they're being funded by us. So you have the EPA, the Department of Education, Department of Labor, just about every cabinet office and a multitude of the agencies underneath them give grants all the time to all these activist organizations, millions and millions and millions of dollars. And that's why they're able to mobilize all of these people, have all of these riots and all these demonstrations all the time, and hire these professionals to go out there and appear on all the friendly media out there all the time. So that's what we have to do. We have to take back possession of our government, take back possession of our tax dollars, shrink the size of government, and get all of these activists off of the dole, off of the taxpayer roll.
You know, here recently in Washington, we kind of saw this where they mobilized a lot of people to turn out in the election. You know, the conservative turnout numbers were actually good, but they turned out a lot more of their own people to give the perception, the public perception of popular support. And that seems to be kind of their modus operandi. And a mutual friend of ours once said to me about 10 years ago that eventually the Marxists and the deep state would have to run naked to the finish line. And what he meant was eventually they would just be totally open about their agenda and who they are.
Yeah, and we're seeing that quite a bit, where they are coming out more and more openly, actually admitting or even sometimes boasting about what they're doing. And we've reported on that even at the higher circles with many of the globalists. We saw it during the Brexit. We saw it during the Trump campaign, where some of the big Council on Foreign Relations, Brookings and Huffington Post, people who are solid left-wing globalists, came out and said, well, the elites, we're with the elites, and the elites should be leading, and all these hoi polloi people down there at the bottom, they're getting too uppity, and they don't like this popular uprising. So they pretend when they're organizing the Black Lives Matter or a march against the guns or the women's march or whatever, they pretend that those are real, genuine populist grassroots uprising, but they're always astroturf, and they're always rent-a-mob folks who are being paid for either by our tax dollars or indirectly with our tax dollars, because the tax-exempt foundations are able to use their tax-free money for it.
So let's talk a little bit about the deep state. Trump made everybody's kind of like finally moved by revoking the security clearance of Brennan. Talk a little bit about that and some of the things that he tried to hide from the public for years, and how they were trying to leverage and still are the intelligence community against the president and his administration.
Well, yeah, that was my headline yesterday on that, right when that happened, was long overdue. Finally, Trump revokes John Brennan's security clearance. And John Brennan, probably everyone listening knows, but some may not, he was the former director of the CIA. And he has been one of President Trump's harshest critics, both when he was still officially in the CIA, and then after he was cashiered out by Trump. But he is one of the most notable examples of the deep state in action here, where it's really unprecedented. Since Trump was elected, we've had a whole flood of intelligence professionals, so-called, leaping out of their agencies, from the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and other federal intelligence agencies, and going out to work for CNN, MSNBC, CBS, Huffington Post, many of the major fake news organizations that Donald Trump bequeathed that title to so famously. And he had good reason for doing it. But we've never seen this before. There have always been a few people who had alleged ties to the CIA, writers, for instance, at the Washington Post. David Ignatius is a longtime Washington Post writer, he is recognized as a CIA source. He's always peddling whatever story they get. He's been doing this for about three decades. But the Washington Post itself was basically a CIA front. Now it's owned by Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and it's continuing the same tradition of Ben Bradley and Catherine Graham, who are all CFR members, Council on Foreign Relations members, globalists, going clear back to the 1950s. John Brennan has really taken the lead in this, although James Clapper over at CNN, and he's doing the same thing. He's former head of NSA. Both Clapper and Brennan are noted for lying under oath, lying to the American people, lying to Congress about very substantial things, which they should be prosecuted for. You know, here we have members of the Trump administration who just barely were involved in anything. Paul Manafort, Gates, General
Flynn.
Yeah, Flynn. Okay, so they were they're being prosecuted for and squeezed for very minor things. Flynn did not do anything illegal. He apparently, we don't even know that he actually lied. We still haven't seen the evidence of it yet. But he, if he didn't lie, then he misspoke. He said he wasn't talking to someone when he did. But there wasn't any problem with him talking to the Russians anyway. They haven't alleged that he did any espionage or that he divulged any secrets or anything. On the contrary, when we look at Clapper and we look at Brennan, we look at Comey, they lied repeatedly. They leaked documents. They leaked them to reporters. They claimed they didn't. In the case of Brennan, he was involved in the Steele document, the phony document that was used to get the FISA warrant illegally. So, I mean, he's done very serious things for which he should be prosecuted, and we're not going to be able to reclaim our country, get our country back from the deep state, unless some of these people have a little bit of fear of the Lord put in them that, yes, you do not have immunity, you cannot lie with impunity, you cannot violate the law with impunity, and many of them have gained this belief because they have been exempt for all these many years. They've gotten away with it, and so Brennan now, it's quite hilarious to listen to and read many of the stories that are coming out on Brennan. As I said in my story yesterday on this, at the press White House briefing by Press Secretary Sanders, the first two questions right after she announced that Brennan was having his security clearance revoked, and she gave a number of reasons, and they could have given a lot more reasons why it was being revoked. First two questions by reporters there was, isn't this an example of the president retaliating against his critics, and isn't this a violation of their First Amendment and of free speech? And it's ridiculous. There's nothing of the sort going on here. As he pointed out, John Brennan, even if he were not engaged in all of the activities that he has been doing, which is the Trump administration said, President Trump said, actually, in his statement, it was directly from the president, that he has been going on nightly news giving statements that are not true, that are damaging to the United States and to this administration. But even if he weren't doing that, he's no longer in office. He's not a CIA director anymore. He doesn't have an entitlement to that security clearance. And so there's no violation of his First Amendment rights. President Trump or nobody in the administration is saying, no, you cannot go on TV. You cannot say this. You cannot. He's not trying to keep him from expressing his opinions. He's saying you can't have security clearance. You can't have access to all these documents and sources in the United States that are reserved for our people who are supposed to be guarding our national security. So, I mean, that should be obvious, and yet here you have all the fake news, so-called journalists, they're going by rote here. Okay, we have to declare that the president is against the media, that he's against free speech, and that's how they play all of this.
Well, and I think it is important too that, you know, when you get a top secret security clearance, it's a very thorough vetting process. They actually go around, they'll interview your neighbors, not just, you know, your family members. They'll go interview your neighbors, they'll interview friends, And so, you know, if you don't disclose, for example, that maybe you voted for the Communist Party back in the day, you know, that might have actually had an impact on a security clearance.
Absolutely. Here you have a guy who voted for Gus Hall, who was then the Communist Party General Secretary. He votes for him for President of the United States. And makes you wonder about our security vetting, our security clearances, when this is no hindrance to him. And then he is made the head of the CIA. This points to what we've been saying for many years. The CIA, from its very start as the OSS, had multiple factions within it, but two main factions. There was an anti-communist and a pro-communist faction inside the OSS and the CIA from the very beginning. And as we have detailed in numerous articles going back even decades, that was an agreement that was made clear back in Truman's administration that, you know, if we want Stalin to cooperate with us, actually in FDR's when it was still the OSS, if we want Stalin to cooperate with us, since he is now our ally, we have to make him confident that he has communist agents within our OSS that he can entrust his agents to. And so we've had that from the very beginning. But even beyond that, as we've pointed out in our deep state issues, it isn't just a matter of left versus right, conservative versus liberal. The globalist aspect of it, the world government aspect of it, which has been really put in action by the Council on Foreign Relations, has been the premier brain trust that has done this. They were the ones who actually put together the OSS and the CIA, and all of the key people have been Council on Foreign Relations members. So the CFR has had a lock hold on the CIA, as it has on the State Department and many of the Treasury Department, going clear back to the 1940s and 50s.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the deep state. You also wrote recently about some new information in regards to Dianne Feinstein, and you know all the stuff about Russian collusion and all. I mean, you have actual direct evidence that would hold up in a court of law, and it's like the media yawns at it. Tell the listeners about what happened.
Well, they may have heard, although it didn't get any coverage at all, as we pointed out in our article. A couple of different journalists, one at the Daily Caller, another one at Politico, pointed out that here, Dianne Feinstein comes out 2 weeks ago, says that because it was starting to leak out. So she comes out on a Twitter thing. She says, about five years ago, the FBI came to me and said that they had evidence that China was trying to recruit somebody on my staff. I confronted the individual on her staff, she said, and we let him go. And that's all she says about that. So that's supposed to be over and open and shut. Well, it turns out that Russell Lowe, the staffer who was on her staff for more than 20 years, and in some stories was reported as only being her driver, so no big deal. Well, it turns out that he was more than her driver. In fact, he was traveled with her quite a bit. He was he represented her at the San Francisco consulate at consul affairs. He apparently was a long-term agent of the Communist People's Republic of China, the PRC. And what did he do? Well, Dianne Feinstein was chairman of the Senate an Intelligence Committee, and she was, up until just very recently, a few months ago, a longtime member of the Gang of Eight. Those are the eight members of the U.S. Senate, four members from the Senate, four from the House, leadership of Democrat and Republican, who are briefed by our intelligence agencies. So they are the highest level of legislators who get intelligence briefings. And this person on her staff is an agent, or reputedly an agent, for Communist China. So this is a very serious thing. It should be obvious that this was a serious national security issue involved here. What happened to Russell Lowe? Well, we don't know. Apparently, the FBI never questioned him. He's never been prosecuted. The Justice Department never went after him. And now keep in mind, this is at the same time. James Comey is director of the FBI at this time. John Brennan is director of the CIA. Andrew McCabe is deputy director. Lisa Page is his assistant. And Peter Strzok is the FBI's counterintelligence chief. So very likely all of those people were involved in this along with President Obama. This is a top security thing, top Democrat on the Intelligence Committee having a long-term Chinese spy working for the MSS. That's their Ministry of State Security. That's their equivalent of the KGB in China. So the questions arise, what was President Obama's role in giving a quote-unquote courtesy call to Dianne Feinstein, saying, you know, there's some people at the FBI that are getting concerned about this, probably some counterintelligence people, and they've gone up the chain to Comey. I'm just speculating this. This is what you would think. I mean, from my years of experience, this is what would happen. And so Comey's going, oh, how are we going to deal with this? So I know. Well, we'll tell Dianne Feinstein that and we'll let her off the hook. Well, it appears that's what happened, because nothing's happened with Russell Lowe. In my article, I embedded a video of him that I found on YouTube, and he's working there for this Chinese Education Foundation in San Francisco. So we don't even know if he's a U.S. citizen or when he's of Chinese extraction. So whether he's a Chinese American, whether he was Chinese and came here to America, whether he got citizenship, whether he's still here, whether he left the country and is working from this for this foundation from Tokyo or from Japan or China or somewhere else. But I hear from some people that he is still here in the United States. Okay, well, why is he not being questioned? Fortunately, I think some people in the House and Senate intelligence committees are going to be looking into that, and already are. And hopefully, Dianne Feinstein, who's a left-wing globalist, she's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, has been promoting all of this stuff with all the aid and trade with Red China for 50 years, more than 50 years. My article I go into there, you're familiar with Trevor Loudon. Trevor Loudon, he's the New Zealand investigator, anti-communist reporter who publishes trevorloudon.com and KeyWiki. And he put together a background on her showing that clear back in the 1950s, when she was a student at Stanford, Dianne Feinstein was a huge promoter of the Soviet Union. She had a big controversy there in the student government. She was in the student government at that time at Stanford University. There were people that didn't want to welcome the Soviet Writers Union, which is a front, a propaganda front for the Soviet Union. Soviet Writers Union wanted to bring a bunch of propagandists to the Stanford campus. Dianne Feinstein was all for that. At that time, her name was Diane Goldman, and she prevailed, and the Soviet Writers Union propagandists were brought to Stanford campus, and she personally hosted them. She took them around and promoted them. So here we have, and her left-wing background, pro-Soviet, pro-communist, pro-Castro background extends for more than 50 years. So it's worse than ironic. It's really ludicrous for her to be pretending now to be so concerned about the Russia collusion, which we haven't really seen any evidence of it yet in the Mueller probe. But yet she and Maxine Waters and all these ultra-leftists who have championed every communist, Marxist, leftist, right, socialist leader, they're all pretending now to be so concerned about Russia collusion.
Total hypocrisy. Well, Bill, we're coming up to the end of the show here. If you could, listeners that want to find out about The New American, where can they go?
Yes, well, I'd urge them to go to our website, to thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. And particularly right now and for the near future, when you go there, you'll see a banner ad for the Deep State in Action. That's our current issue of The New American magazine. It's our second issue on the Deep State. The first one, our special Deep State issue, you can get that there as well, goes into all the background of who the various Deep State actors are in the cabinet, in the various private organizations, in the media. This one goes into what they are doing currently now in terms of promoting massive immigration into the U.S., in terms of manipulating our money, our free trade, things of that nature. And it goes into it in quite a bit of detail. So they can either order it there in digital form on Kindle, or they can get a PDF of it, or they can get an actual hard copy mailed to them.
Bill Jasper, senior editor of The New American magazine, thanks again for joining me on Patriot Radio. Thanks for all the great work you're doing, and keep up the information overload we're getting. It's terrific, and exposing these people for who they really are.
Well, thank you, Matt, as always.
All right, and you can again go to The New American online. A lot of great articles there every day. And again, these guys, when they print, they're printing a lot of times, you know, 5 and 10 years ahead. They were talking about the Deep State way back when it was not popular to talk about. And I look forward to some of their new articles that will be coming out to expose it even further. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and live your Christianity beyond the four walls of the church, and make this generation the greatest one.